Father in heaven, we thank you for the rain. I know we've needed it. It's been a dry few months, and so we thank you for that. We thank you for provision for it. We thank you that we're able to gather here in this space this morning. Lord, that you brought us here safely. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to listen to your word, to worship together, to pray together, and to talk together around the things that are important to your heart. And God, we just pray this morning as we do that, Father, that our conversations would be pleasing to you and edifying to each of us. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so let's see. Heather, if I could get like lighting B, and then we'll start the video. There we go. Hey, good morning, Homefront. I am here with my personal pilot at Leesburg Executive Airport, and we're going on a father-son breakfast outing, but with a purpose,
So,
Michael, where are we going this morning?
We're going to Frederick, Maryland today.
We're going to Frederick, Maryland to have breakfast, and what aircraft are we going to be taking?
We're going to be taking a 1968 Cessna Cardinal.
Oh, 1968.
Yep.
Okay. Putting our lives in the hands of an aircraft that's 3 years older than me. Wise? Or unwise? Who knows? So this is it. The one with the red cover. All right. We're going to have to wake it up. Oh, baby. What I'm talking about.
That was a pre-flight check.
Okay.
Check and make sure that the plane and all its mechanical and documents and everything is in airworthy condition. Yeah.
So let me turn this way so we can actually see the aircraft we're talking about. So this is the, what is this?
I just did this yesterday. It's a 1968 Cessna Cardinal.
1968. Okay. Yep. So, really, seriously, like, I would maybe get in a car that was built in 1968 and, you know, drive around the block or something, but we're going to get into an aircraft that's going to take us, what, 4,000, 5,000 feet in the air?
Yep.
Why? That makes me a little nervous. I mean, I'm creaky and, you know, my parts don't hold up so well anymore, and this thing's 3 years older than me. So what's the secret sauce? What keeps this 1968 airplane in such condition that we can put our lives in its hands? What's the secret?
So what keeps these planes in airworthy condition for so long is constant maintenance. It's actually legally required on airplanes to have a annual inspection done. So every year, every 12 months, the plane has to go into a mechanic's shop. The mechanics then take off all of the inspection plates, all the little windows around the plane. Have a good look inside the guts of the plane, make sure that all the mechanical pulleys and cables and the actual structure of the plane aren't developing any cracks, any corrosion. If they do find anything like that, then they repair it before closing the plane back up again and sending it out for another year to fly.
Okay, and that's in addition to, right, like
oil changes,
all the
other, another four or five required inspections, along with if anything does come up in between annual inspections, you repair those on the spot as well.
All right. I'm feeling a lot more confident now. And I know I have a good pilot. So let's see how this all works out. We are back safe and sound in Leesburg Airport. Had a nice brunch, breakfast, whatever, in Frederick, in a 1968 Cessna Cardinal. I like these annual inspections. I'm liking them a lot.
Fun little breakfast.
It was. It was a very tasty breakfast. I ate way too much. But it was all for a good cause. Is this covered in my home front budget, do you think?
So.
Don't tell Pastor. Oh, better yet, don't tell Bruce.
Cricket.
Okay, we bring the lights back up. So how'd you like our filmmaking? Is that good or what? That was all yesterday morning.
Wow.
So there was a lot of work going on yesterday. Very important stuff. And you missed the end, the very, very end, because I said, please don't let Pastor Minner or Bruce know about this. Got to keep that a secret. So let me ask a question here real quick. Anniversaries... Recently, I realized that I've gone months without asking about anniversaries. Have we had any anniversaries since, like, June? Wow. Pretty much everybody got married sometime between June and now. Oh, wow. Okay. So congratulations to all of you. Any in the month of October? All right. Congratulations. And you guys are new. Steve, why don't I embarrass you and have you stand up? That would be awesome. Congratulations. Huh? Oh, right. Oh, you went like this coming Wednesday? Nice. So, hold on a second. How many years? 2 years? Nine. Very nice. All right, well, let's get an idea for experience in the room. This will be good. I haven't done this in a while either. So, people that have been married 5 years or less. All right. 5 years or less. Okay, how about 5 to 10? 10? 10 to 15? 10 to 15. Oh, there we go. Is that a 10 to 15 there?
Yeah.
Okay, 15 to 20. All right, we got a few. 20 to 25. More than 25 years. She's not very enthusiastic about it. She's got like her hand up over here. More than 25? All right. Very nice. Oh, let's see. How many years? 33? 28. Very nice. So, you know, I got to tell you guys, when Michael, that wasn't a joke. When Michael first told me how old the airplanes are, like, he told me that before yesterday, so I've known that for quite a while. But when he first told me, I was like, what? Like, are you kidding me? How's that possible? And then when he began to share with me, like, how involved the maintenance schedules are on these things and how rigorous they are, I was like, oh, all right, that kind of makes sense. Made me think, maybe I could keep my car going that long. But then I said, ah. And the problem is, so my default, and I don't know about you guys, sounds like just by the survey of the room that a lot of you guys by default might be like this. Once I get things in order, or what I feel like is order, my tendency then is to expect or maybe naively hope that they're going to stay that way and then kind of just back off. You know, and that goes for my car, it goes for the house, my office space, you know, the yard, or even things that are more important than those things, right? Like my relationships with my kids, with my wife, with my friends, like, you know, or even with the Lord, my spiritual relationship. How many of you guys are here familiar? I know the ones that probably are already. I'm looking at you. Familiar with the term entropy? Okay. So, right, science term, physics term. So the entropy, the entropy is a measure of disorder, right? So the, you know, the second law of thermodynamics that I'm going to misquote it here, but it's basically along the lines of things will tend to go from a state of order to disorder unless there's an input of energy to maintain them in order, right? Unless acted on by an outside force. They'll tend to go from order to disorder. That's just a fact of life in the universe, the way that God designed it, which makes verses like Colossians 1:17 so amazing. Right, what does Colossians 1 say? He is, Jesus, he is before all things, and in him all things, what? Hold together. All things hold together. Because if it weren't for him, things would not hold together. They would continue to spin out of control. So the interesting thing about that, right, we've been created in the image and likeness of God. When we're redeemed in Christ, part of our role in our little corner of the universe is to be God's agents of order. And whether that happens to be in, you know, in our physical space or in our relationships, we're told that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, which is just an extension of bringing order to chaos, right? That's what our role is, sort of God's agents of order in our little corner of the universe, right? And how do we do it? If you go back to Colossians again, Colossians 1:27, the only way that we're able to do it is because we're empowered by God's grace through the Spirit of Christ in us, right? Christ in us, the hope of glory. What's the glory? The glory is being able to carry out the things that God has assigned for us to do, that he's ordained for us to do. How does this apply to marriage? I hope it's going to be obvious. But there's another aspect to this that I touched on a little bit, talking about energy. One of the laws, the thermodynamics, is that the expenditure of energy, it's another sort of natural law, the expenditure of energy always results in cost, right? We're not able to apply all energy to something. There's always energy loss. So like, for instance, if I'm going to move all of the, you know, I'm going to use energy to move all of the chairs and tables around in this room, put them away by myself. I'm going to lose energy. I'm going to actually do work, but I'm going to lose energy and heat that's not going to actually get spent on moving the chairs. So there's some aspect of energy being lost in addition to the work that's getting done. Does that make sense? Okay. So how do we, as Christians, see, this is why when we talk about not trying to do things in our own strength, because if I try to maintain order, if I look and I say, okay, God wants me to be his agent of order in my little corner of the universe, and I'm going to do that in my own strength because I'm going to be organized, I'm going to have to-do lists, I'm going to have all these things, which aren't bad, they're good, if they help you, you know, stay on task. But if my whole goal is that I'm going to do this, I've got an assignment, now I'm going to do it. That's not the way that God designed us to be, right? Jesus says, you know, if you abide in me, John 15, if you abide in me, if you don't abide in me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me, you'll bear good fruit. So the idea is that as Christians, we have this fount of unlimited renewable energy. So as we go about doing the things that God's called us to do, we have this renewable energy that comes back to us, right? The Father, Jesus says, abide in me. The Father says, those who wait on him will do what? Those who wait on me will renew their strength. They'll run and not grow weary. So again, what does this all have to do with marriage? What does plane inspections, the law of entropy, have to do with marriage? I'm kind of hoping that it's obvious, but we'll see. Haggai 1:5 says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Consider your ways. Do an inspection. Now the context of that verse was that the Israelites had come back from being in exile. And when they got back from being in exile, the first thing that they did was they rebuilt their homes.
Good morning, home front. I am...
That was awesome. Is anybody there? The Israelites rebuilt their homes. Thank you. They rebuilt their homes. And they started to get about their business, right, of planting and doing, you know, generating commerce and all those kinds of things. But none of it was working. They weren't getting a good return for their, you know, they were sowing, but they weren't getting a good return for what they were sowing. They weren't satisfied in their doing. There was something missing. And so God tells them, hey, consider your ways. Do an inspection. There's a reason. There's a reason that you're not getting a return for what you're doing. So you need to troubleshoot it. You need to go through your checklist and look. So he was telling them to run through that and troubleshoot the problem. So that is what I want to do. Over the next several months in Homefront, we're going to have some weeks that we, you know, some exceptions to that, like the holidays. We're going to do some things special around Missions Week, which I'll talk about at the end when we do announcements. But over the course of this year, when we're not doing special things, we're going to be going through our annual maintenance check of our marriages. To, you know, like Michael said in the video, to open up the inspection plates and look at the guts and make sure there's nothing corroding in there and fix what needs to be fixed and all those kinds of things. And what we're going to do, we're going to use a tool for it's an optional thing. I'll put it to you that way because there is a cost to it. So I'm going to make it available. You can come and the teaching will be the teaching, but we're going to make a tool available to you guys that we normally use for doing premarital counseling, but it's a tool that's also used for sort of postmarital counseling as well. And it's called SIMBUS, which it stands for Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts, but it's a really neat assessment tool. Like I said, it's been designed for pre- and postmarital counseling. Patricia and I took it, how many years ago did we take it? Like two? 2 years ago? And it was awesome. It was useful still to our marriage, even after 23 years in. I said it's an option because there's a cost. So it's $35 per couple. If there's, you know, some reason, like you really want to do it, but $35 is going to break the bank or it's not in the budget, let me know because I have some scholarship budget set aside for that. The assessment works like this. Basically, actually, you guys look on your tables. You all have one of these. It's just a little thing that says first name, last name, email address. Essentially, what I do is I'll take that for anybody that's interested in doing it. You'll get an email from SIMBUS with a link, each of you individually, with a link to go and take the assessment. So you each take the assessment individually. It generates a report, which is probably about 20 pages thick, and that then gives me a message that says it's available to be downloaded. It takes about 30 minutes. Did I say that? It takes about 30 minutes to fill out the assessment? So about 30 minutes. I'll print two copies, two copies for the couple, and bring those in. And then if you decide to do this, I will also email you a short kind of description of what's the assessment. I'll describe each of the sections of the assessment and how to use it so that I don't have to do that in here. And then we'll kind of track along, and I'll refer back to the assessment a lot as we go through the several months of the teaching. So if people that aren't here that want to jump in, we'll probably make a little announcement and give them opportunity to jump in and get their assessment too as we go through. But it's super helpful. It goes through all kinds of things like instead of just telling you about it, I want to show a short video. Oh, I forgot to put that. There's our annual inspection slide. Let's look at it for a few seconds because I didn't have it up. All right. Isn't that a great slide? Okay, let's watch the video.
Boy meets girl. Sparks fly. And, well, you know the rest. They fall in love, get married, get a dog, make babies, and live happily ever after. At least we hope so. But now, you can do more than hope. You can buck the odds to safeguard your relationship and build a love that not only goes the distance, but fulfills your deepest dreams. More than 1 million couples worldwide have benefited from saving your marriage before it starts. Simbus for short. And with the Simbus assessment, you'll receive your own personalized map for making your marriage everything it was meant to be. Crack the code for joining your personality strengths. Learn to speak each other's language fluently. Find the secrets for a lifetime of deep passion and fantastic sex. Don't buy the lie that says, love is all you need. Experts all agree, working on your relationship right at the start is smart. In fact, it reduces the risk of divorce by 31% and instills honeymoon habits that pay off for decades. And it's easier than ever. Just take our quick questionnaire and let us do the rest. In short, save your marriage before it starts and start living your happily ever after today. SimbusAssessment.com.
There you go. Oh, would help if I turned this on, huh? All right. I'm doing well this morning. So, one of the questions that the assessment asks you right at the beginning is, are you married or engaged? So, obviously, y'all would check off married, and that adds some additional pages to your assessment and goes through things. There's a really cool page at the end where it's got a whole series of areas in your marriage, and it ranks your satisfaction in each of those areas, from most mutually satisfied to least mutually satisfied at the bottom. So it's actually pretty uncanny how it kind of nails your personality, because it combines a lot of things. It combines love languages. It combines things like the Briggs type personality tests, and anyway, a bunch of different tools into one, and kind of generates this report and helps you go through and look at, like, what is your communication style? What is your conflict management style, your conflict resolution style? What is your time management, each of your time management style? The things that jumped out, the things that really helped Patricia and I were through that assessment is when I realized that she is not a pure extrovert. And I've told that story in here before. After 23 years, I found out that she's not a pure extrovert, that she actually is got some introvert in her, so she needs her time alone, which I had not gathered somehow, my amazing skills of observation, which are not so amazing. So I think it should be a lot of fun as we go through the next, like I said, next several months, probably until the spring, going through these things. We'll talk about things like grace and the gospel in marriage. We'll talk about the marriage covenant and what it means. And is it just all about our happiness and making kids? Spoiler alert, no. We'll talk about, family of origin issues. How do we manage relationships with the in-laws? And the old, keeping your in-laws from becoming outlaws thing, right? We'll talk about managing conflict. We'll talk about communication. We're going to go through all that, finances, the whole shebang. We're going to get under the hood and look at all of that this year. So it should be fun. I'm hoping you guys will enjoy it. Sometimes it's a little bit painful, but, the idea is really to either help to get, if our marriage is drifting, to help to get it back on track, or if our marriage is good and we feel like we're in a good place, just to take it from good to great. There's always room for improvement. And just keeping in mind what our source of energy is for this, right? Our renewable source of energy is always the Lord. And now we're done just as John gets here. Hey, John, you got here in time for the questions. Nice. You can't sneak in when I'm standing up here, brother. So we have some discussion questions up here. And like I said, don't forget, if you want to do the assessment, you need to fill that out, because I'm the one that needs to send you the assessment links. So you need to put your name and stuff on those papers, and then assign somebody at your table to take them and drop them off with Diane on your way out. So here's our three discussion questions. Did you go through premarital counseling? And what was that like? Has it been helpful? I got to tell you, for that first one, of the post-marital counseling that I've done, almost all had either none or very limited premarital counseling. I have yet to have a couple come through for postmarital counseling that says, oh yeah, we had great premarital counseling, it was awesome. Is that a data point? Maybe. How have you seen entropy play out in your life, whether in your marriage or elsewhere, and are you ready for a scheduled maintenance check? What are your concerns? What are you looking forward to in the process? So those are our discussion questions. We've got a good 25 minutes or so to do that.